Father God, as sun shines at this moment to this place, we confess that you are the light. You are the light of the world, Lord Jesus. We just confess that our hidden things will be completely open in the day that you come. And as we know that the glorious day of Jesus will come, let us live every day. We open our heart and our soul to you so that your Holy Spirit always examine our heart so that we live the way that you destined us to live for your kingdom and to your glory. We just thank you from the bottom of our heart, and we ask your Holy Spirit to hover over us during this session. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the most important truths about God is that he speaks. He loves to reveal himself and his word ever since the creation. God spoke and the world was made. And he spoke to Adam and Eve to bless them. He spoke to Noah to make a big boat to save the world. He spoke to Abraham to go to the land he would indicate and reveal his plan and bless Abraham and his descendants. And he spoke to Moses in Mount Sinai and revealed his name and his plan. And we observe that God spoke to individuals in a personal fashion. And in the Old Testament, God also spoke to his prophets. Then the prophets proclaimed the oracle of God to the people. By and large, this indirect speech of God was normative throughout the Old Testament era. But as we move to New Testament era, God spoke through his son Jesus. Jesus said, "For I did not speak on my own initiative, but on Father himself, who has given me a commandment as to what to say and what to speak." So every single word Jesus spoke is God's word. And clearly the word of Jesus is the revelation of God's word. And we hear God's voice from the word of Jesus written in the Gospels. The New Testament and Old Testament are the revelation of God's word available to us to be able to hear the word of God. And in the New Testament, we see three times God spoke from heaven and over his son and the people around him. I'm talking about a direct voice of God. We would sometimes desire to hearing the direct voice of God time to time. Would it be great if we can directly hear the voice of God? I think the answer is yes, but we encounter an unexpected account in the Gospel of John 12. God spoke his direct voice, but people fail to listen to him. There is no doubt that God speaks in various ways, even in the direct way. But an important question to ask ourselves is if we listen to God. What is the word of God to you? This is a topic we are going to grapple today. What is the word of God to me? With this topic in mind, would you please turn with me to John 12? We are going to read verses 27 through 30. John 12, 27 to 30, here's the word of God. "And now my soul has become troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this purpose I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. There came therefore a voice out of heaven, I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. And the multitude therefore who stood by and heard it was saying that it had thundered. Others were saying an angel had spoken to him. But Jesus answered and said, the voice has not come for my sake, but for your sake. You know, this is the few days before Jesus, would die on the cross. During this moment, Jesus said, now my soul has become troubled. My soul has become troubled. Jesus was fighting against his emotion. He knew his mission clearly from the beginning, that he would have to die, he would have to be crucified. But at this moment, he was fighting with his human desire to avoid it if possible. You know, think about it. He was only about 33, and still fairly young. And most of us in this room actually are above 33. So think about his life. It's very short, and he's about to die. With respect to the cross, it was a symbol of very shameful death. Only the extreme criminals deserved. And he was thinking about probably, how people look at me from his, human perspective. And also he was a good son to his mother Mary and to his siblings. And he also had emotional attachment with the 12, the disciples he chose 3 years ago. And now he was troubled. He confessed that my soul has become troubled. This is a fairly simple expression of, describing Jesus' agony. But if you look at Luke's Bible, Gospel of Luke, the agony of Jesus was described even more realistically. Luke 22:44, and being in agony, he was praying very fervently. And his sweat became like drops of blood falling down upon the ground. So we can see that Jesus was being shattered, and he was in fear, in agony, and he was suffering. You may say, how come Jesus was no different than any other human being? How come he came to be shattered in agony and even being afraid of his coming death? If Bible were a fake book trying to elevate Jesus as the perfect God, this kind of witness would have been removed completely. But gospel writers, John, did not do that because that was the real portrayal of Jesus' human side. This is one of the reasons why we can trust in the Bible as the authentic witness of the life of Jesus from his birth to death. But Jesus did not stay in agony but rose up to bear the cross in less than a few days. If we trace back from that event. And this tells us that what the real courage is all about. The real courage does not mean you never be afraid of. At times you can have fear of the things that you are concerned about. But the real courage means you do things that ought to be done even if you may be terribly afraid. So important thing is get the things done in the end through all those emotions. So that's exactly what Bible portrays about what the real courage is from the life of Jesus. Jesus was no different than all of us in terms of emotion, in terms of even facing the fear from his human side. But and yet, he finished well for the mission that God has entrusted to him. So the real courage overcomes fear to finish the mission we have to deliver. That's real courage. But anyhow, let's look at our text, go back, second part of verse 27 and first part of verse 28. But for this purpose, I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. In overcoming fear, Jesus remembered his purpose, why he came down from heaven. And he prayed to his Father, Father, glorify your name. Glorify your name. Glorify in the Greek manuscript is doxazo. Doxazo. Doxology is an English word parted from the Greek word doxazo. And doxazo means is to cause to have splendid greatness once and for all. And it is to make renowned. In other words, to cause the dignity and worth of some personal thing to become manifest and acknowledged by people. So this prayer of Jesus is completely focused on God, his Father, and his reputation. So Father, glorify your name. That means, Father, make your name renowned and manifest it great and splendid. But how would God glorify his name? God glorifies his name by his Son, who bore the cross and be crucified. So the cross was God's plan, and God glorifies himself when the Son obeys all the way to accomplish his Father's will. So that is what Jesus meant when he said, Father, glorify your name. In other words, Father, let me bear the cross and die on the cross. That's exactly what Jesus meant, how God glorifies his name. Let's look at the second part of verse 28. And there came therefore a voice out of heaven. I have both glorified it and will glorify it again. Actually, literally, it should be, I glorified and will glorify it again. But what does that mean? Why God saying, I glorified it and will glorify it again? What is it? It is my name. I glorified my name and will glorify my name again. That's what God said. But what does that mean? You know, this is actually audible voice of God from heaven. It says, there came therefore a voice out of heaven. This is the third time God's audible voice is recorded in the Gospels during Jesus' earthly ministry. What does God mean when he said, I glorified it and will glorify it again? We see here, there are two times his name is glorified. One as a past tense and the other one in the future tense. And each case, it is an active voice. Meaning, it's not that God will be glorified or God was glorified. That's a passive. But God says, I have glorified it. He's an actor of glorification. And God is not passive in receiving his glory. He is actively glorifying himself. God does not share his glory with others. That's one thing that God would not share, his glory. And glory is exclusively God's prerogative. And when I said God glorified, when God said I glorified, the Greek grammar demands a complete action which was done once and for all fashion. I glorified it. It's an aorist imperative, aorative indicative. So God glorified his name in the Son who obeyed him. This is very assuring statement of the Father over the Son. The Father is saying as if, Son, you glorified me and my name no matter what happens. I have a full delight in you. You know, you bore my name and my name, and you made my name renowned. That's basically what God said. That was done. You know, you already did it. I glorify myself by your full obedience so far in your life. But God added, I will glorify it again. You know, what does that mean? You know, I will glorify my name again means he would glorify his name again in the death of the Son on the cross. So when the Son was struggling over the fear and agony of bearing cross, God spoke about the ultimate consequence of his Son's obedience in bearing the cross. So the death of his Son is for the God, you know, the glory of the Father. Now, this is another paradox of the Gospel of John. How can God, you know, receive glory through the death? But that's what it is. It's a culmination, the climax of God's glory in the event of the crucifixion. Because that was God's plan. God wanted to save the world through his sons bearing the cross and be crucified. And however hard it is to take as a father who goes through all this agony and suffering, but that is God's plan from the beginning. That's why everything is at stake in this event. But look at verse 29. The multitude, therefore, who stood by and heard it, was saying that it had thundered. And others were saying, an angel has spoken to him. Apparently, the voice of the Father was not a whisper, only spoken to his Son. It was actually an audible voice of God that was publicly spoken to all people. It was so loud that it sounded like a thunder. Just like, you know, big thunder, when you hear it's just rumbling, right? But it was actually God's voice. I glorified it, and I will glorify it again. That was exactly what God said. But people, you know, some people thought it was the voice of an angel spoken to Jesus. But they heard something, but they did not comprehend the meaning. Look at verse 30. And Jesus answered and said, the voice has not come for my sake, but for your sake. It's amazing. You know, we thought God was saying to his Son to, give comfort and peace in the moment of, difficult time. But here Jesus is saying that the voice of the Father from heaven was not so much to encourage him in the hour of emotional distress and agony, but to help the people to believe in him and warn them of the coming judgment of God, which should follow their disbelief. It's for the people. You know, Jesus was pressing on to finish well his mission from his Father. In doing so, he once again called for the faith to believe in him as the Messiah and the Redeemer. But look at verses 36 and 37. If you go few verses down, you know, while you have the light, believe in the light in order that you may become sons of light. These things Jesus spoke, and he departed and hid himself from them. But though he had performed so many signs before them, yet they were not believing in him. You know, this is another sad ending. This is pretty much the last exposure of Jesus in public before he was arrested. So this was pretty much the last ministry, public ministry of Jesus to the people. And it ended sadly. People did not believe in Jesus in spite of even the direct voice of God, which came like a thunder. Let's think about the direct voice of God. And a direct voice of God came three times in the Gospels. The first voice came when Jesus was baptized in Mark 1:11. It says, "A voice came out of heavens, 'You are my beloved Son. In you I am well pleased.'" And second direct voice of God came on the Mount of Transfiguration in Mark 9:7. "Then a cloud formed, overshadowing them, and a voice came out of the cloud, 'This is my beloved Son, listen to him.'" You know, again, God's voice was for the public, for people to hear. It's not so much for the Son. Son knew it. And the third direct voice came right before Jesus was about to be crucified in John 12, which is our text, verse 28. "There came therefore a voice out of heaven, 'I have both glorified it and will glorify it again.'" In each of three cases where God spoke, the Son heard the voice of the Father. But Jesus made it clear that the main purpose of God's speech was not so much for him, but for the people to listen and believe in him. You know, the issue is not that God does not speak. He indeed speaks, but that we do not listen. In today's episode, the people were there when God spoke, but somehow they did not really paying their full attention to the voice of God. Isn't that similar? In our context, what is voice of God? What is word of God? It's the Bible. The entire Bible, Old Testament and New Testament, 66 book of the Bible, God has revealed everything in this book. But the question is, are we really paying attention to the Word of God? You know, we are very advantageous than other generations because we have this written scripture, God. Revelation. This is a God's special revelation. God spoke all. If you read the Bible, you know exactly what God is all about, what God wants us from our life. And but the question is, are we paying attention to God's word? And as the people in this episode, you know, did to the word of God, they moved on without really listening to it. Even the direct voice of God was completely useless to the people that day. It's a very sad ending. You know, how many times have we heard the word of God, yet not really listening to it by paying full attention and believe and obey? We have choices to make when we hear the word of God. You know, when we listen to it and obey, it'll bear much fruit to give us life eternal. However, when we reject and disobey, it does not just stay as abandoned word. The rejected word of God will come back to us as judgment of God at the last day. Listen to the word of Jesus in verses 47 and 48 of the same chapter. John 12, 47, 48. You know, would you turn with me to these two verses? John 12, 47 and 48. This is what Jesus says. "And if anyone hears my sayings and does not keep them, I do not judge him, for I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my sayings has one who judges him. The word I spoke is what will judge him at the last day. So what Jesus is saying is, each word of God we hear would never come back in vain. You know, it'll either give us salvation or judge us. You know, if we accept and believe, it'll produce life eternal. But if we reject and disobey, it'll judge us at the last day. The word of God itself will be the judge. So the word of God is not something we take it lightly. Each time we hear the word of God, you know, we need to pay full attention to it and simply obey it. Whether the word of God comes to you through the Bible reading, or, you know, preacher's sermons, or even direct voice of God as you pray, what you need to do with it is to take it to your heart and obey it. Just as Jesus did. You know, whatever he hear from his Father, not only he, you know, give his full attention to what that is, but also each word he practiced it, and even the death, he did it. He fully obeyed to the Father's commandment, obeyed with the Father's commandments. You know, God's word is a living word. You know, we have life when God's word is living in us. And do not ignore God's living word. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is living and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. I was thinking about why this is double-edged sword. You know, on the one hand, if we take it, accept and pay full attention to it, listen to it, and obey it, it serves the purpose of one edge, which is giving us life. But on the other side, why it's a double-edged sword is, the other side may turn out to be something that will destroy us if we not paying attention to it and abandon it, do not take it, you know, seriously, and you know, disobey it. You know, to those who listen to obey the word of God, it is the power of God that brings life eternal. But to those who would not listen and obey, disobey it, it is the judgment of God at the last day. I believe that's what one of the insight of what double-edged sword means, the word of God. So let me ask you this question. What is the word of God to you? What is the word of God to you? How do you take it? Let me give the five practical steps. The first step, believe God's word. Believe God's word. This is the first step. And second step, read God's word. Read God's word. You know, for us, the entire Bible is God's revelation. We're supposed to know it. You know, we cannot say to God on our judgment seat, "Oh God, I didn't know about that." God will not, you know, God will say, you know, "I have given it to you so that you read it." Oh, you know, we cannot just say, "Oh, I didn't know about that" at the end of the day. So we need to read God's word, you know, daily and regularly, and, you know, it should be part of our life. As the picture shows, you know, God gave this special revelation from heaven to us. It's ours. We're supposed to know it all. And certainly not just read God's word in its entirety, but we obey God's word. We need to obey God's word. You know why? Because Jesus said in Matthew 28, 20, as part of his great commission, teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. Teaching them to observe all that I commanded you. So basically, obedience to the word of God is so important. And you know, we are responsible for learning and knowing the entire Bible. You know, God revealed everything we need to know from the scripture. It's a very special revelation. You know, we don't see Jesus on earth. He would not speak to us, but this New Testament especially has all the record of what Jesus said. And we need to really pay attention to it and obey each and every word of God. And the fourth practical step, live with your heart exposed to God's word. You know, as I said, word of God should be part of our life. You know, the encounter with word of God should be something that is, you know, exciting and enjoyable and joyful and peaceful. Last but not least, love the word of God as Jesus is the word. That's the catch. Jesus is the word, he said. Jesus is the word incarnate. So word of God is not just literature. We're not just analyzed grammatically or historically, but we encounter Jesus through the word of God because Jesus is the word incarnate. So love Jesus and love the word of Jesus as he is the word. You know, if you have been taking the word of God lightly, repent today. And as the Holy Spirit convicts you, ask the Holy Spirit to help you to restore the joy and the peace that you once had, so that what Jesus said today would be taken into the deep heart and produce 30 times, 60 times, even 100 times of harvest in our heart with the word of God. Let us pray. Father God, we confess you know, our sin of abandoning your word. But today, we heard what Jesus said, and that word of Jesus spoken to us through Gospel of John 12 be taken deeply and seriously and joyfully, so that this word would not fall on the ground, but you know, generates you know, life eternal in us all the way to the full obedience with the joy, because Father, you glorify yourself as we obey the command of Jesus. We thank you for your revelation today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Five. call upon your name, we and our families will be saved. So we cry on your name, El Shaddai, God of grace, Lord Most High.
Your grace and reminder of your word spoken to each one of us from your scripture. Father, your scripture is so valuable. It's not like anything else that we can find from this word, because it contains who you are and what you have done and what you will do, and it also revealed who we are and who we were before Jesus and who we can be in Jesus Christ. Father, stir up our hunger and thirst for your word, and Holy Spirit, help us to reignite this passion to be immersed with your living word that is sharper than double-edged sword. Father God, we thank you for your grace and a time that we can repent and refocus on you in each and every day as we march forth from this place. May the grace of our Lord Jesus and love of God who is in heaven, and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all forever.